Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Birum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birum Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at the 1480 AM studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. I'm trying to remember what song that is. What is that?
Roller Coaster. Love Roller Coaster. Ohio Players.
And the Red Hot Chili Peppers remade it for the Beavis and Butthead to America.
And of course, as we were talking about earlier, Final Destination 3, this song is played throughout the movie because they are on the roller coaster in the beginning that things go horribly awry.
Wow, nice. I guess I got to start watching these movies.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's do a trivia question.
Yes.
Again, we are celebrating all these awesome songs from these horror movies because Your Next has this awesome song in it. And again, that was a big breakthrough. You're going to want to see that this weekend. So this is another question from Final Destination 3. And you have your papers here. You're going to write down this number. And Eric, you will tell me yours, but after they write theirs, okay? Without going over, How many times did cast members of Final Destination 3 ride the roller coaster in the same night in order to shoot the film's primary premonition sequence? Okay? They had to ride it a few different times in order to get it all right. So without going over, how many times did they have to ride that roller coaster in Final Destination 3? So you guys write it down and...
And here's the Jeopardy song.
Well,
dun, 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 dun,
dun, come on, Trebek.
He's working on it.
Dun. Here we go. Yeah. So how many times
without
Final
going
Destination
going over.
3? Yeah, without going over. So you guys have it?
No.
Well, hurry up there.
I can't. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I needed the song to think. All right.
Bum, bum, yeah. Bum, bum, bum.
Come on, just write something down. Our guest is going to be calling in here in a few moments.
I got it. Eric, you got one too?
Eric.
I think I do.
So, Eric, what is your answer?
I'm going to say 24.
Wow.
24. Okay. Wow. And Dave, do you want to say yours?
Five.
Five. And Greg says?
16.
The answer...
It's 16.
No, the answer, the number of times that they rode the roller coaster, 26.
Oh,
Eric,
no.
Oh, my God.
You are on a roll.
No.
Much of the on-ride footage was filmed on the Corkscrew at Playland, part of the Pacific National Exhibition in Vancouver, Canada. The actual ride has an initial drop of 65 feet and turns back around on itself before entering the double corkscrew.
Ah.
Yeah.
Interesting. It brings up a story about the movie Knocked Up, because Jay Baruchel is terrified of roller coasters, and the first scene of that movie when they're on the roller coaster, that was the only time they could film him on there, and that was his real reaction when you're seeing him freaked out.
Yeah.
So, but wow, 26 times.
Right. Yeah. So,
that would have been funny
if
they would have made
fire
Jay Baruchel have to do that. Bring him on
to
Final Destination.
I just wanted to drop it like one just to make sure I was under.
Right. Because I was going to say, if you were pretty close to going over, too. If you would have said 27, then Greg would have had it.
I thought he did say 27.
How many points are we giving Eric for that? Just one? Or is it worth five?
Well, I mean, they got so close.
I think an extra point, yeah.
We'll give him 2 points.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Because we got to save the five for the bonus, right?
Right.
What's the score now?
The score, Eric's got five. Dave and Greg, you guys have one.
Knocking us down.
I don't know if you can catch up.
It's going to be tough.
Well, I think with the bonus round.
Well, we got the bonus round. We also have some news.
The way Eric's going today, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be fun. And here, coming up in a few moments, we will have on our special guest, actor Brannon J. McLaren. And, you know, let me tell you a little bit about one of the films that he is in. We talked about it before. He's in A Seasick Sailor. And in that, Keir Gilchrist plays a teenager who spends his days stocking shelves at the local drugstore. That is, when he's not killing people for a boss that he's never met. Over the course of the story, we see him try to balance the growing responsibilities of this unorthodox job while trying desperately to establish a real connection with someone else, like an adjusted young adult. Again, that's a short film. They finished filming it a month or so back. We had on Devin Bostick from the film. We had on Martha McIsaac. We had on her husband, who was the director of the film. And, you know, so again, Brannon J. McLaren, he is in the film. And he's also in Graceland, if anyone watches that series on television. And so he's been in a lot of other things. You want to say some of the other shows and stuff that he's been in, Dave?
Yeah, quite a bit. A lot that some of the audience probably more familiar with, too, is She's the Man with Amanda Bynes, Channing Tatum back in 06. But, yeah, he's done quite a bit over the years.
Yeah. Dave, do you like Amanda Bynes?
Yes, but you guys have been talking about her.
She's
recently.
Amusing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's better, Lindsay Lohan or Amanda Bynes?
Well, who's better?
I think it's a different situation with Amanda Bynes.
Who's a better drug addict? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I think with Amanda, there's a actual disorder or family issue with schizophrenia.
And Lindsay she's totally normal? Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm said it's a different type of situation.
Oh, I see.
Yes, I believe.
Different type of crazy.
Yes, yes.
That's a good way to put it.
Yes, but she was a very good actress, and
yeah,
hopefully
very
she
good.
Gets over whatever she's going
yeah,
with.
Yeah, we do
now,
hope so.
Speaking of good actors, though, before Brandon joins us here, we didn't get a chance to talk about this Thursday because the news broke as we were going off the air. Ben Affleck, Batman, your thoughts?
Well, do the Batman imitation.
Well, I don't think he's going to talk like this anymore.
Well, you messed up one of my news or falses.
Did
you guys know that was?
Well, I'm
that was,
yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think it was a big one.
Yeah. It's sort of So that's good that we. I you know I this even though Daredevil sucked, And I don't totally fault him for that. The movie in general, it just didn't work. I'll say this, though. I think when when Heath Ledger was hired as the Joker, everyone was like, really? Really?
Yeah.
And then that's one of the greatest performances we'll ever see. I think Ben Affleck is going to surprise a lot of people because it seems like I'm one of the few that is saying I'm actually excited about this. Everyone seems to be like, no, not Affleck. Well, but
he's already surprised me by getting the role.
Yeah, how's that possible?
I think he'll do fine. He's working out to get fit for it.
Yeah, he is working out already.
2 hours a day.
I have a quote from director Zack Snyder. Again, we're talking about Man of Steel, the sequel to Man of Steel, where
Batman
and Superman. Right. And so Zack Snyder said, Ben provides an interesting counterbalance to Henry's Superman. Again, Henry Cavill, the actor who plays Superman.
Yeah.
He has the acting chops to create a layered portrayal of a man who is older and wiser than Clark Kent and bears the scars of a seasoned crime fighter, but retain the charm that the world sees in billionaire Bruce Wayne. I can't wait to work with him.
Nice. So this could be good.
I think they'll make it work because, we laughed when, like, Clooney came aboard and that stuff. But that was just a goofy, weird movie, with Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze. It was different. Obviously, Joel Schumacher's version based on different storylines.
I think that was the worst Batman was Joel Schumacher's.
Absolutely. And I think Schumacher did the third one, too, with Val Kilmer. And that was okay, Batman Forever. Definitely not near as bad as Batman and Robin. But... This series, Man of Steel is a little more similar to how The Dark Knight is in a way, and I know Christopher Nolan is somewhat behind it. He gives some of his ideas, so I think that they'll do okay with this. I think they really looked hard into this, and that's why I'd be shocked if it doesn't work out. I'm sure Ben Affleck will do fine.
Well, my problem is that the first Man of Steel, this summer, I gave that.
I know
a
you
huge
didn't really like it, right?
So they would really have to do something drastic to change my opinion on the sequel because the direction that they're going is just terrible.
Yeah. It's interesting how right now it's titled, Superman versus Batman or Batman versus Superman, something like that. So I'm sure that will change, but. Yeah, it'd be interesting just to see the whole premise with the movie and all the villains and everything. But again, I think he'll do fine. And
I just want it to be superheroes. I don't want to know their psyche. I don't want it to get so deep and stuff like that. I don't care. I just want action.
You're a bachelor.
You like the Transformers then, huh?
No.
Oh, you don't like the Transformers?
I just watched Dark of the Moon.
I just watched that
a few nights ago, and it just kept going and going and going. I finally turned it off.
That one was the worst probably in the series. Well, the second might have been. They were close. But the first one I really liked, actually.
Her name? Rosie Whitley Huntington? She's pretty cute.
She is.
And, of course, Josh Duhamel was in the franchise.
Yeah.
We had him on Thursday. We'll talk about his new film here in the next segment, Scenic Route. But, he's awesome. So there were some bright spots of the moon, right?
Yeah.
Well.
And another Transformers coming our way, Shia List.
The CG is great, but other than that, it's like, really? A car, a little tiny car turns into this massive giant robot?
I've said it before, I don't like that they talk. I mean, I know that's the Transformers. But
I know their voices are so over-processed.
Yes.
Well, we'll see if Mark Wahlberg could revive the franchise next year.
Possibly.
I think he can. If anyone can do it, it's Marky Mark.
Yeah. And
what about the other guy?
Yeah, no, Shia LaBeouf. He's out.
No,
Stanley Tucci, Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer?
Guess. Yes, he's on board. And,
Frasier?
T.J. Miller, I'm sure, will provide some comedic value to it.
And no more Megan Fox after her anti-Semitic remarks.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, we didn't see her in the third one either. But,
right.
Yeah.
Well, you will be surprised. Rent this movie called Passion Play. Mm-hmm. It is on DVD. Mickey Rourke is in it as well.
Oh, it's a porno?
No. She plays, Megan Fox plays a young woman who has wings. She may or may not be an angel. So,
I have seen that.
Did you like it?
What was it called again?
Passion Play.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you like it?
No.
What is wrong with you? That was amazing.
Well, Bill Murray's in it.
He plays a gangster.
I was amazed that, Megan Fox
can actually act. Of that.
She can actually act, when she tries. I thought it was good. I liked it.
But
Eric's not with me on that.
What remarks did she say? I didn't even know.
The director.
She said something about too many Jews in Hollywood or something, and Spielberg is the executive producer of the Transformers, so he axed her from the films.
Oh, he did.
And then I think with Michael Bay, there might have been issues too with stuff.
Wow.
Right. Yeah. Right. And of course, you know, Megan Fox, she's was also in Jennifer's Body, and I didn't include as
she was what?
Jennifer's Body. That movie.
I like that.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Amanda Seyfried.
Yeah, there you go.
You can't go wrong with that.
Right. Yeah. And you know, so that movie had an excellent song, Through the Trees. I don't know if you recall that song from Jennifer's Body, but that was an awesome song, but it was a song made for the movie. That's why I didn't include
it. Who was Jennifer?
That was
Megan Fox.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Jennifer's Body.
If we're talking about bodies, it's got to be Megan Fox, right?
Didn't see it. Eric?
I thought it was called Jennifer's Webbed Fingers.
Well, it looks like Brandon J. McLaren is not going to be joining us today. We can't get a hold of him. But we will move on to our next song. But first, let's do a trivia question from this, rounding out all of our Final Destination songs, okay? Mm-hmm. We will be playing Kansas, Dust in the Wind. It is from the last Final Destination in the series so far, Final Destination 5, okay? So, again, Eric is in the lead, way in the lead with 5 points. Dave's got one. Greg, you've got one as well. Which of the following deaths featured in Final Destination 5 was not actually inspired by a real-life incident?
Ooh.
Was it A, the bridge collapse, B, a gymnast snapping her spine in half, or C, a man getting pierced by acupuncture needles?
Ooh. B.
I agree, B.
What? C.
B.
Okay, so we got B.
Two B's.
B.
Two B's.
To
and
B.
we got a C.
Yeah.
B or two.
Well, you guys are catching up a little bit because
we got
a gymnast snapping her spine in half. That was the one that was not, okay? So
the
opening bridge collapse is inspired by the Tacoma Narrows Bridge, and someone has died from an acupuncture needle stabbing into their heart after falling off the table.
Oh,
terrible,
man.
Right? So that's what's so excellent about the Final Destination franchise, all these awesome things. And so, you know, you're catching up there. We've got 2 points for Greg, 2 points for Dave.
Can we still win with
five
bonus points?
And in the movie, the guy it happens to, actor P.J. Byrne, who plays Isaac Palmer.
Oh, you're getting this off the internet.
Yeah, no. I just brought it up. Now I already knew this.
Now
I waited.
We know why
I waited.
He's winning.
Waited.
Oh, you're not winning.
No, you're winning. He was great in Horrible Bosses, of course.
Yeah.
If you remember.
That was a good one.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break right now. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion in the world of entertainment. This is Breakthrough Entertainment, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. We're here live every Saturday from 10 to 12, 1480 a.m. KPHX, and every Thursday, usually 2 to 4, sometimes 4 to 7. You just have to check out our website to see when we're on, and we do a lot of remotes with the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I love that song. What is that song?
Blue.
Blue.
I just think of old school.
Oh yeah, Blue. He got
Bud from Final Destination.
Yeah. Final Destination. Yeah.
Or is it Old Yeller? I don't know. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice.
Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
I close my eyes, then I drift away into the magic night. I softly say.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at the 1480 AM Studios KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. And you can hear us daily Monday through Friday at breakradioshow.com. And, of course, every Saturday here from 10 to 12 and 12 to 2. I broke it up because entertainment 10 to 12 here at 1480. And then we have 12 to 2 sports action, including real hockey talk from 12 to 1. Hockey season's coming up, and of course, so is Greg and Paige DeMacos right away at noon, Mr. Greg.
Yes.
And that's his commentary for the day. Okay, Joseph, yeah, what do we got?
Well, we're celebrating again, You're Next, the awesome song that's in that film, and all these scary, or these songs that aren't scary until they were in these movies, these horror movies, so now they're scary. In Dreams by Roy Orbison is already kind of a creepy song, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
It is.
All his music is.
Yeah, so this is one of the oldest songs, I think, that we have, or oldest movies, in fact, that we have on today. It's from a movie called In Dreams.
Ah, I haven't seen it. Yeah.
It was a 1999 thriller.
Robert
okay,
Downey Jr.
Very good. I can't believe you knew that.
I know. Everything.
And wasn't
don't
Annette,
look
Annette
into
Benning
it.
In it.
I'm not looking.
What? Annette Bening.
Yes. Well, he. Even
oh, nicely done. How do you know
Eric.
That?
I saw it.
Oh.
Wow. It was not a very good movie, was it?
No, wasn't that something about the lake that was covering an old town or something?
Yes, I think so. Yeah.
How about the lake house with that other guy?
Yeah.
Keanu Sandra Reeves. Bullock and the guy.
Keanu Reeves.
Yeah. That was pretty good. Remember that one?
But we're talking
it was different
about
times.
Right
and horror movies.
Yes, I do remember that.
That was sort of good, wasn't it?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
And there
I
were ghosts
the
in
movie.
That one, yeah.
Sort of cool.
Yeah. But anyway, In Dreams, I just remember, you know, as the credits were rolling at the end of the movie that Roy Orbison's In Dreams was playing, and I was thinking, this was such a terrible movie, but I have this creepy feeling, you know. So anyway, the music. All right, so it holds the distinction of being the last film that Robert Downey Jr. completed before being sent to the California Substance Abuse Treatment Facility
it's
and State Prison
of that film.
On drug charges. Yeah, maybe. Oh. So which of the following is a real statement that the actor has made about his drug addiction? Which of the following is a real statement made by Robert Downey Jr.? A. There's no other feeling like it in the world. Honestly, I don't care if it kills me because at least I'll die with a smile on my face. B. It's like I have a loaded gun in my mouth and I like the taste of metal. C. I am a drug addict. That's kind of catchy. It's got a nice ring to it. I mean, it's not technically accurate. I can stop whenever I want, but it's kind of provocative. The imagery, anyway.
C. Oh!
We got a. two C's and an A. Nobody gets it.
Oh, it's B, the gun one.
It is B, the gun one. And the C, the last one, sounded like him because it's actually, that was kind of a quote from one of the Iron Man films.
And I then just, we're right.
No, it's not about his drug addiction. It wasn't a direct quote. I changed the words around. He was talking about
Eric,
else.
Let's replay the question.
Technically, we were right.
Yes.
He says, I am Iron Man. That's kind of catchy, you know, because he was. But technically, it's not iron, and he was talking about the metal and all that.
Oh.
But Downey pleaded no contest to drug charges. The judge sentenced him to remain in rehabilitation for 1 year and to 3 years probation.
Oh.
Yes. So.
Then he's done pretty well, right?
Yeah, he's been doing really well.
Yeah, good.
Avengers
good
and all
for him.
That. So let's move on to our next film. It is Scenic Route. In this film, Josh Duhamel and Dan Fogler play best friends who are on a road trip when their old pickup breaks down, leaving them stranded on an isolated desert road. As the relentless elements of the desert grind them down, they start to attack each other's life decisions with unwavering brutality. It's playing exclusively at Harkins Arizona Mills. What did you think of this trailer?
Well, I couldn't quite see anything that would compel me to go see this movie. It didn't look like it had anything profound. I mean, I know the guy was married. It looked like from the trailer he may have cheated on his wife because the ring was on the dresser. And then it was just a bunch of gooblygook.
Gooblygook? What happens near the end of the trailer?
Well, they start fighting each other.
Physically, right?
Yeah, and I didn't know why.
And at one point, Josh Duhamel has what?
A mohawk.
Yes. Have you ever seen Josh Duhamel with a mohawk?
No, I haven't even seen Josh Duhamel in person. But I do like his movies.
Okay.
I do think he's a great actor, but there wasn't anything here that looked profound, but maybe the trailer didn't quite capture maybe the interaction that they had while stranded, and maybe they had some good conversation going on and realizations.
Well, I have to say that it is a very difficult movie to capture with a trailer. It is very, very profound.
Okay, good.
This was very close to a breakthrough.
Wow.
Very close to a breakthrough. Not quite there, but definitely a thumbs up. It's a top-notch dramatic thriller that forces you to doubt your own reality when life's pendulum finally starts swinging in a positive direction. I can't go into that comment that much because there's something that happens at the end of the film. I don't want to spoil it, but it really makes you doubt your own reality. You know, I started looking at my life and thinking, you know, things are going so great. What if this isn't really happening? So maybe my life
isn't.
It is.
It's really going.
You're right a big part of Breakthrough Entertainment.
Well, it's like it feels too good to be true.
No, it's not. We're just we're just kicking.
I'm going to Salt River. I'm having fun with Dave. We're doing some random enlightenments. I mean, how much better can life be than this?
It can get much better.
It doesn't seem like it.
But it will be.
I don't know. But
really,
I'm saying
get on the couch and let's do some an analysis.
But my point is,
I can't even talk now.
Yeah. But my point is that, you know, what if we are not really experiencing these things that we're experiencing? What if it's a survival mechanism?
What would we be experiencing? Eric, do you see us?
I see three of you.
Yeah, let's pinch. I'm pinching me.
I'm just glad there's not four of us.
Someone else is
talking
pinching
about
horror
movies.
Wait. But, if I'm pinching me, who else is pinching me?
Well, normally Sebastian's here. Where's he at?
Yeah, where is that guy?
Sweden.
Yeah. Now, there's
a
guy.
Right. He's not going to be here today.
He was pretending not to be here, and he's pretending to be in Sweden. But he probably really is.
Well, it was
Joseph. Joseph, my son.
Yes.
No. It's happening.
Well, I bet
you are
a
great movie reviewer.
Thank you.
Deserve all this credit. You are going far.
Thank you. But, you know, thank you very much. But it feels, you know, I'm just saying that in parts of your life, you maybe look around and say, you know, this is really awesome. I really hope that I am not dreaming.
You know what that is?
What?
It's a fear of losing it.
Yeah, very true.
Yes,
very true.
And that could be a good theme.
But what if it's all a survival mechanism?
But here it is. All you have to do is think each moment, be grateful. And that's part of my commentary. Right. Hey, right. should I start it now?
No, we'll get to it.
Okay, we'll get to it in a minute.
Yeah, because you know, there's another theme to it as well that I wanted to share. But you know, it's got a razor-sharp screenplay, two powerhouse performances. Again, you've never seen Josh Duhamel like this. He is excellent, not just with the mohawk, but the performance is excellent.
I got to say, it's got to be tough for Josh Duhamel to be in a movie with a guy like Dan Fogler. I mean, Fogler is a supermodel, you know, and for a guy like Duhamel to be... No, but in all seriousness, though, it sounds interesting because, yeah, Josh Duhamel's a great actor. Dan Fogler has always been very funny.
Yeah.
So this would be different to see him in this type of situation because, you know, when you see Fanboys or the ping pong movie that Fogler's in or some of the other ones, always goofy. And so I'm looking forward to see it, to see how it all takes place.
And if you go to breakradioshow.com, you can listen to the whole interview with Josh Duhamel. And again, we'll play a clip from him in just a few moments. But he mentions how proud he was of Dan Fogler, that he, you know, a lot of people weren't up for this job, but Dan Fogler took it head on. They both do excellent jobs in this movie. And, you know, so A Scenic Route is a journey well worth taking, not only for its excellent entertainment value, but also for its thrilling theoretical ramifications. So we talked about one of the themes. If you want, we can talk more about that. But there's another theme here. Sometimes it takes a traumatic event in order to acknowledge and appreciate one's blessings. Dave, what do you say about that?
I just totally agree. The theme is so true. Often a tragedy is when people may wake up, count their blessings, to be grateful for what they have and stop whining about what they don't have. It's always good to appreciate life. There's no question about it, just as it is. And also see beyond the superficial desires that people seem to think equates to happiness. So I really think if you're well-grounded, if you really understand and appreciate life just as life, rather than say, only if I had this, then I can be happy, big mistake. It's called state of being goals, then doing goals and having goals. Most people want having goals. And then if they can't have it, they do something about it. And then they think that equates to happiness, a state of being goal. I say, just have a goal every day, being very, very happy, empowered, and really think in an empowering way as you do your goals. Things will come out much better.
Good point. Yeah, you know. Let's hear what Josh Duhamel has to say about the theme, because he kind of touches on some of the same things that you said. So again, Josh Duhamel on the theme.
I think that the lesson, if there's a lesson in it, it's that, you know, even though you may have had big dreams as a 20-year-old and thought you were going to go out and set the world on fire, and then you look back and you haven't necessarily achieved all the things you thought you might. Sometimes it takes traumatic events like this to realize that you have a lot of blessings in your life and you should appreciate some of the things that you do have. And that's it. You know, I think that that's the lesson is, you know, sometimes it takes things like this to appreciate some of the blessings that you have.
Yeah, and so he's got a lot of great insights about the film. Again, go to breakradioshow.com and listen to Thursday's show. We have the whole interview on there. I also have it on examiner.com. You can listen to the interview extracted from the show. You know, again, this is close to breakthrough. I'm giving it a thumbs up. You know, like I said, there's so many different themes in this movie. The performances are excellent. You know, the story is excellent. The things that they're saying together, very, very difficult to hear them say these things to each other. But then the ultimate... thing at the end, you know, where they're trying to figure out, is this reality? Is this something? Is this a survival mechanism? This is very, very difficult movie to watch, but also so entertaining and so thought-provoking. Amazing.
It does sound great. I am looking forward to it. I just couldn't tell from the trailer. Mm-hmm. I suspected, though.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of, you know, if you're isolated on a road in the middle of nowhere, and what are you going to do? I mean, you're going to converse, you're going to talk, and probably a lot of interesting things came about, including wondering if you can survive. I mean, here you are, deserted road somewhere, what, in the desert or whatever, and can you survive is the question.
And what it would be like to have a mohawk.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, how that comes about as well is very interesting, how he, you know, just decides, well, I'm just going to go for this mohawk. So very interesting film. It's well worth taking a trip out to Harkins Arizona Mills. I wish this was playing everywhere. It's that good. But
you think it will? Maybe it will expand.
It might. It might. But let's talk about. Let's do our next trivia here. This next song is by Linda Scott. I've Told Every Little Star. Have you ever seen Mulholland Drive?
I did. I sort of liked it, actually.
Yeah, it's a David Lynch movie, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was. Excellent film. But let me do our trivia here. By the way, Eric is still leading with 5. Dave and Greg, you have 2 apiece. So a trivia about Mulholland Drive. David Lynch originally conceived his psychological thriller Mulholland Drive as a television series, but it was rejected by ABC network executives. Which of the following were not one of their reasons? 2 of these were, but 1 of them was not. Which one was not? A, its stars Naomi Watts and Laura Herring were too old. B, it featured a close-up shot of dog feces. Or C, it was too racy for the network's family-friendly image. Which one was not one of their decisions?
A, the one regarding Naomi Watts.
A, and Dave?
Which was not one of their decisions.
Yes. Go for
B.
It.
B.
B, and everyone's wrong again.
What?
The rejection left a depressed Lynch with writer's block, and so it stars. They thought that Naomi Watts was too old, and it's got a close-up shot of dog feces. So they said they couldn't air that. So when he finally agreed to revisit the project, he discovered that the sets had been destroyed and all the costumes and props had been released. Although this upset him at first, Lynch now claims that the setback actually proved a blessing in disguise, as it generated new ideas about how to proceed toward a feature-length motion picture.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So great.
So we're not doing well. Eric's still doing well.
Yeah, well, Eric's still in the lead, but Mulholland Drive is a great film.
Wow, it is. And who was the main actor?
The actor? I don't remember the actor. I just remember Naomi Watts.
Justin Theroux.
Oh, yeah, Justin Theroux. You're right.
That's
very
thorough of you.
Isn't
okay.
that Jennifer Aniston's boyfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's
right. I thought it was Brad Pitt.
You're way behind.
I know. That was good. She's with Angelina.
We'll do news or false in the next
excellent, because we want to catch up. Well, let's take a quick break right now. And when we come back from the break, we'll do news or false so Greg and I can maybe catch up. I know that song. And this is Breakthrough Entertainment Live here at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. And we will be right. Wait, before we're right back, why don't you sing a few?
No, that's all right.
You were doing it. You were dancing.
No, that's all right.
I was lip syncing like they do on TV.
Yeah. Will Naomi Watts lip sync to this in the movie?
Like they do in concerts.
Yeah, I like it. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Weidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
At Beerenbaum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerenbaum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, I'm Jessica Olson, and I'm here to introduce you to someone whose job it is to stand together with you at the worst of times. Life throws us unexpected curveballs, including losing loved ones, caretaking, troubled retirements, job losses, and legal settlements. Meet certified financial planner Larry Moscat, who pioneered crisis financial counseling. With a background as a clinical psychology practitioner, Larry has helped numerous people see through their crises to a brighter financial future. Larry?
Thank you, Jessica. At our firm, RII Advisors in North Scottsdale, we know terrible times don't usually last, but the effects of anxiety-infused financial decisions can last a lifetime. For 30 years, our prime goal has been to introduce freedom from fear and a feeling of financial security for our clients. We then move forward with safety and best-case outcome results when it comes to the financial decisions made during the worst of times.
To learn more, log on to www.RIIAdvisors.com. That's RIIAdvisors.com for information on how to get help. Once again, that's RIIAdvisors.com for financial counseling during life's most challenging times.
And welcome back again. You are listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live here at the 1480 AM Studios, KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, the host, alongside Greg Isaac and Joseph Erdo. Joseph, I don't know this music, but it's snappy. It's lively. I'm dancing.
I know the song, but yes. I don't know where it's coming from.
Huey Lewis in the News.
Oh, yes.
Square. You cannot listen to this song
the
same
American
way.
Psycho.
Very good.
There we go.
Wow,
yes.
Are you good?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Huey Lewis was in a movie called Duet, and it was really good. Remember that, Eric?
Not that particular thing, but I saw he used to be on. He used to be in several movies, and he was also on Just Shoot Me.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Paul Giamatti was in Duet too. You never saw it, huh?
Which one? Duets. Yeah. Okay, Duets. Yes.
Oh, I missed it by a letter. Okay, but it was good, right?
Yeah, Duets was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I like the soundtrack to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good.
And, you know, I don't remember if it was Huey Lewis in the News or if it was Phil Collins, but, Phil Collins again. but one of them, because, of course, he had Susudio in American Psycho.
Right, Susudio, right. Is that a tasty Japanese dish?
Yeah.
Susudio.
With the seaweed from earlier.
I love that.
Sign of good luck.
Really good, with gravy and biscuits.
Yeah. So the one of them wouldn't let the studio use their song on the actual CD soundtrack, I remember. Mm-hmm. Mm. But, so you always think of Patrick Bateman, so Christian Bale, you know, with that axe or whatever
doing
he's got.
Business.
You mean Jason Bateman.
And Jared Leto about to meet his demise.
Yeah. So these are, your way of thinking of that song.
Wow.
So here's our trivia question. Again, we are with Eric Scott 5.
Yeah.
Dave, you've got two. Greg, you've got two as well. Mm. Which of the following actors was originally attached to the role of Patrick Bateman in American Psycho before Christian Bale was eventually cast? Was it A, Robert Downey Jr., B, Kevin Spacey, or C, Johnny Depp?
B.
A.
We have
what was the first one again? What was A?
Robert Downey Jr., Kevin Spacey, or Johnny Depp?
Boy, oh boy. Johnny Depp, C.
I win.
It's Johnny Depp.
Oh, that's
oh man.
So, Greg, you now have three. So, a little background on that. Depp was tipped to play Bateman in a version that was to be directed by Stuart Gordon. However, Gordon's vision, which would have stuck close to author Bret Easton Ellis' novel, would have guaranteed an NC-17 rating, and the project was doomed. Director David Cronenberg replaced Gordon with Brad Pitt set to star. But that, too, failed to get off the ground. I'm so glad that it wasn't Johnny Depp because, as you know, I'm not that big of a fan of him. I'm also not a big fan of Brad Pitt, so I am a big fan of Christian Bale.
I'm a big fan of Johnny Depp, but Christian Bale was amazing, though, in this. I mean, American Psycho is one of the greatest movies ever.
Definitely.
The first one. The second one with Mila Kunis was just goofy.
It was, but, you know, it's still
worth seeing. It was entertaining.
Yeah, it was entertaining just for that.
Because there's a bit of a storyline from the first one.
Right. So now you know, we have one more trivia coming up a little bit later on, you know, at closing out this part of the show, and also we will do our Dave's Random Enlightenment. But let's do some news or false, okay? So now we'll keep track of these. Eric still has five. Dave, you have two. Greg, you have three. Here are our first one. Walt Disney Pictures announced this week that the title of the upcoming fifth installment in the Pirates of the Caribbean film franchise, oh, I saw your eyes light up, is Dead Men Tell No Tales. Is that news or is that false?
False.
Dave says false. Greg? Eric?
Oh, boy. False.
False, Greg?
False.
Everyone says false. No one gets it. That is news.
Oh.
The directors are reportedly working on the script, which will be a combination of a standalone story and adding to the overall mythology of the series. So likely not as standalone as On Stranger Tides, but not as mythology heavy as the first two sequels.
And Johnny Depp will still be in it.
Yes, he will be in it. Yes, Johnny Depp will be in it.
How about Keira Knightley?
I don't know. She might have something to do with
Orlando
it.
Orlando Bloom.
Might have something to do with it as well. So we'll see.
That other guy. The captain guy.
Octopus face?
Octopus face.
Davy Jones.
Yeah. Who?
Davy Jones. I forget the real guy.
Yeah, character. He was good.
He was
No, the other captain. The
Barbossa.
Barbossa.
Yeah, will he be in it?
I'm not sure.
Jeffrey Rush is in
it.
Jeffrey Rush. Yeah.
So wow, Eric, nicely done. You know your actors. Okay.
Entertainment One this week announced that not only that it is producing a television series based on the Rambo film franchise, but that Sylvester Stallone may reprise his iconic role. Is that news or false?
News.
Eric says news.
News.
Apparently, you heard this.
Yes, yesterday.
Oh, you did? I didn't hear it. Yeah. I guessed. I have ESP.
All right. Well, everyone gets that point. Stallone is in talks to join the project on a creative level and may potentially reprise his role. Next question. 20th Century Fox and Blue Sky Animation this week announced that they will release a spinoff of the Ice Age film franchise in 2015 starring John Leguizamo's Sid the Sloth called Surviving Sid. Is that news or false? Greg says false.
I'm going news.
News, says Eric.
I'm going false.
Wow, they're going to catch up, possibly.
Very good.
It is false. And so Leguizamo has said that a fifth installment may be in the works, but nothing is confirmed, and it is highly unlikely that it would center on Sid. Although, if you do want to see this film, Surviving Sid, it's an animated short that can be seen on the Horton Hears a Who DVD and Blu-ray.
And here's the score. Eric, 6.
Yes.
Greg, 5. Dave, 4. Wow, we're catching up.
Yes,
all right, here we go.
All right, Wanted director Timur Bekmambetov this week announced that he is in talks with MGM to direct a new adaptation of Ben-Hur. Is that news or is that false?
False.
Greg says false.
News.
Eric says news.
False.
It is news.
Oh, now he's
trying
up some space
catch up
again. Yeah,
MGM is said to be keen on Bekmambetov's vision, which explores the original story's themes of revenge and redemption. So, again, Wanted director Timur Bekmambetov this week, I also announced that he is producing a horror flick about a bunch of bloodthirsty squirrels. Its title will be Squirrels.
Wait, before you say that, can we do an essay question instead of true false? Or news falls. Okay,
no.
Go ahead. Squirrels.
Squirrels. Is that an actual movie that Timur Bekmambetov is producing?
Is this the next news or false?
Yeah, news or false.
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 Oh, man. I can't see how that could be true. False.
False.
News.
And it is news. Dave.
Wow.
Yeah, Daniel.
No.
Daniel
Killer
and
Squirrels, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's about a young man who
like
returns home after his estranged father dies in mysterious circumstances. He soon discovers an army of flesh-eating squirrels that will wipe out everything in their path. You've got to watch this. There's a, like a pre-production trailer online that you've got to find. It's excellent. There's also a poster already online for
who
it.
Who greenlit that one?
I
folks
don't know.
Behind Sharknado.
It's going to be a big
and Troll
screen 2. Thing.
Yeah, that's why it's odd, because if it was one of those, you know, if it was different director, you know, something that was going straight to TV, like the Sci-Fi Channel, it's understandable. Yeah. Those movies are entertaining to make fun of and stuff. That's why they make them.
Right.
But that shocks me that this director, but maybe they'll pull it off somehow.
From the looks of the trailer, it looked amazing. And this was just like a pre-production trailer,
really?
Just announcing that this was going
to
be made.
The squirrels are coming to attack and eat us all.
And the score, Eric, 7. Greg and Dave tied at 5. We're catching up. I'm excited. I've been implementing the strategy, doing the opposite of what Eric says, because otherwise I wouldn't catch up.
Yeah.
And there it's working.
I know. All right.
Now you have
all right.
to answer
and there's
first
our,
next
there's
time.
Paige DeMacos there, smiling through the window. We're waving.
I feel like we're in a padded cell.
She brought you some coffee cake.
Come on in. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Coffee cake.
There she comes. Hey,
wow, Paige. There's some coffee cake.
Oh,
Paige
thank
DeMacos.
You. Oh,
there
you
how's it going?
Oh, no, that's for you.
Oh,
very
good.
She has crab legs for
in
us
the
and
so we can
lobster.
All, yeah.
Oh, homemade? You know how to cook?
Wow. We just went over that earlier
I didn't know
in
she
the
had
show.
That. Well, early in the show that she cooks?
Yes.
Yeah, the Greek
baklava.
Food.
Yeah.
Oh, you do that? Oh, you could put the headset on. All right, here we go. Oh,
I gotta catch up, though, real quick, because we only got a few minutes
let's
for
do a couple
me
more
to win the
all right.
trivia.
We're playing News or False, Paige.
Okay.
All right, so Lionsgate last week confirmed that it has started work on a sequel to this summer's magician heist caper, Now You See Me. Production is expected to kick off as early as next year. Is that news or is that false?
News.
News.
News, news, news. Dave?
News.
Everyone says news. Everyone gets that one right. And Now You See Me cost $75 million to produce. It's made $115 million in the United States alone and has earned a further $120 million in overseas markets with several key territories still to go.
Ah.
So here's the next question. Following the success of this year's Oz the Great and Powerful, TV producers this week started work on a medical soap based in New York City inspired by the characters and themes from The Wizard of Oz. Its title will be Dorothy. Is that news or is that false?
False.
Paige says false.
News.
I say news, too.
Dave?
I say false.
Well, Greg and Eric get the point.
Oh, darn. Paige, I was following you.
I didn't know that
by
Oz
the way, that's
did that
nine
well.
For me.
I thought they didn't do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is.
And it's not necessarily because of Oz. It's
okay.
more because of Elementary, the Sherlock Holmes series. So mm-hmm. it's coming from the same people, CBS.
Got it. You confused me, Joseph. You led me in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I call a recall on that one.
Or you could try the next one. Mel Gibson.
Yeah, Florida does that too.
Yeah. Mel Gibson last week joined the cast of The Expendables 3. He will play the motion picture's primary villain. News or false?
False.
Greg says false.
News.
Eric says news.
False.
False.
Eric gets the point.
Oh.
It is news.
I'm shocked 10. Mel's going to be in something.
You got 10.
Yeah,
yes. The
10.
Threequel's current confirmed cast list includes Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Harrison Ford, Mel Gibson, Dolph Lundgren, Wesley Snipes, Jet Li, Randy Couture, Antonio Banderas, Ronda Rousey, Terry Crews, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Victor Ortiz, and Kellen Lutz.
And Joseph Ord.
And how bad is it going to be?
Probably worse than the first two.
Yep.
I enjoyed them.
Here's our last news of... Wow. You
they're
enjoyed
good.
That?
I mean, I'm not saying they were works of art. I'm just saying I enjoyed them.
I enjoyed
entertaining.
How dumb they were.
Yeah, Chuck Norris.
No, that was terrible.
That Chuck Norris.
That and G.I. Joe. All right, our last news
have
or false.
A point there. Oh, wait, is this the bonus one?
No,
or is
this
that
is,
after?
We got
okay.
one more question.
Because I
got to
stay
this.
Within four so I could be there.
My points go to Greg.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
She can, she can decide where her points
No, you can't do that.
That's not much help so far.
Oh, yes.
Comic book creator Mark Miller this week announced that despite Kick-Ass 2's underwhelming box office performance, a second sequel is already in pre-production. Is that news or false?
News.
Greg says news.
Wait, does pre-production count the script writing? Because I know he's right. Okay. Yeah, news.
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 It's false.
What?
It's not being made.
I thought I actually read that.
If you read that, then you show it to me. If you read it,
or okay, maybe I read he's interested in doing
it. Well, he might be interested in doing it, but it's made a measly $13.3 million last weekend, debuting in fifth place at the box office. Miller has, however, said that those hoping to see an X-Men Fantastic Four team-up movie may be in luck, as a such project is not only likely, it's inevitable. So you all had that question right, except for you, right? I lost track.
I think they all agreed with me.
No, we all lost.
Oh, okay.
Because
so
I was so certain that...
Yeah, he was I heard the right
I just want to keep the score where it's at. And
it's 10-6-7.
Well, we have one more, right? We have one more question that will end out the show. But we have another Dave's Random Enlightenment of the Week.
Oh, good. Here we go.
Last week you told us about marriage, right?
I did.
And it was
good advice.
You had some great advice about how to sustain your marriage. This week, you know, you're telling us you have this great background. You're a master practitioner.
Right? In neuro-linguistic program.
Very good. Yes. So a lot of people don't know, you know, what that means, what your likes are, what you do for entertainment.
Wait a minute, did I just miss out on a point?
No, we're 10-6-7, so the bonus
question.
By the way,
your buddy Stan Robinson just called in.
Oh,
said that he just tweeted last night. He found out that Sylvester will not be in the Rambo TV show.
Oh, okay,
interesting.
So do I get a point?
No, but because we were playing a game based on Joseph's information.
Oh, yes. Based on my information.
Because
late breaking news.
Earlier yesterday, he was.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yes.
The project still exists.
Here we go. Yeah. Random Enlightenment. So the topic, entertainment.
The topic is about what Dave, a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, likes for entertainment. Here's what he says.
A lot of people may or may not know I do neuro-linguistic programming. And I'm a master practitioner, and sort of a political show that I watch is Married with Children. What the heck are you guys laughing about? It's not a one-size-fits-all. I love that show, but it's really cool. It's a nice political show, and I really love Brokeback Mountain. Boy meets girl. Boy tries to impress girl. Boy has a Mercedes and can't pay for it. I'm lost like the TV show. Oh, remember Aliens? That was pretty good, because in the dark, you can't see much, but when you turn on Amanda Bynes, you can absolutely see many more things. I just saw magic. I didn't see the mic.
Nice mashup.
Yeah.
Wow.
So those are what you like for entertainment.
Oh,
shows.
Boy. Yes.
Dear God.
Interesting. Dave's life.
Wow, Amanda Bynes.
Yeah, wow. Lights on, Amanda Bynes.
When you turn on Amanda Bynes, you see things that are great, right?
You do?
No doubt, right?
Wow, you know these things. So how's the box office doing, Greg, before we do our last question?
That's a good question. I'm going to bring that up right now, and I'm hoping that you're next... it's coming out well, because I know you had a lot of good things to say about that.
A breakthrough. Sure, you had a breakthrough on that one.
Yes.
He had a breakthrough.
And I know a lot of people like it. Word of mouth will really help
I'm going to see The Butler tomorrow.
Oh
you are?
Thumbs up?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm very excited.
You can report in on that.
Okay, yes. I'll report in on it.
Absolutely.
Do a little Twitter action.
Stuff to say. Your next is targeting the top spot for the weekend. It's a quiet weekend. It looks like The Butler, though.
Money
is number one right now.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Currently, but.
But you're next.
Paige is
going
to put it over the top there. She's going to help it.
Yeah. Oh, we got to get a bonus question so I can win.
Yeah. So let's do we got our bonus question here. Our last song will be.
And it's worth how many points?
It will be worth 5 points.
5 points. Here we go.
All right. Here's your piece of paper. And,
we got a paper.
Yeah. Our last song will be from. It is Tiptoe Through the Tulips, of course, by Tiny Tim,
yes.
From Insidious. The movie's coming, the sequel is coming out later this year. And so, our last question. Insidious was the most profitable motion picture of 2011, earning more than $97 million worldwide. Without going over, what was its production budget?
One more time.
Insidious was the most profitable motion picture. It made $97 million without going over. What was Insidious's production budget?
Say it one more time.
Yes.
Production budget for Insidious. So
under $97 million.
Yeah, it's obviously got to be under $97 million. So without going over, production budget. We're running out of time.
Come
up with something.
What do you got? All right. Who has it?
All right. So go ahead, Eric.
40.
40, Paige?
46.
46.
25.
25, 72. Everyone gets it wrong. It's $1.5 million. Everyone went way
Eric
over.
Eric with the win again, though.
But I was closest.
Yeah, yeah, Dave Eric was closest.
But he was over.
I was closest, but I was over.
But you still We're went, Bob Barkering it.
Over, under.
Congratulations, Eric.
Eric, you are the big winner today on 1480
Yay!
AM. Yes, congratulations.
The Butler leading the way Friday. We're the Miller second. The World's End third. The Mortal Instruments fourth. Eyebrows also tied with there. Your Next comes in fifth. Playing sixth. Elysium seventh. Percy Jackson eighth. Kick-Ass 2 ninth. And Blue Jasmine
And Dave 10th. Random's Enlightenment number 17. Okay, and then, wow, this is it. I'm going to be taking off. So it's going to be Paige and Greg today. Today, Real Hockey Talk and Breakthrough Sports, special guest PLR, and
Fear
I'll be
Finn.
Right back.
And Fear the Finn.
This is 1480 KPHX, Phoenix.